Thank you to Governor Knight. Good morning and welcome to Citizens March 12, 2025 Actuarial and Underwriting Committee meeting that is publicly noticed in the Florida Administrative Register to convene immediately following the Finance and Investment Committee meeting and is recorded with transcribed minutes available on our website. Chair Bruff, we have no speaker requests for today's meeting. May I proceed with official roll call? Chair Bruff? Governor Becksmith?
Here.
Governor Spotswood?
Here.
Fred Strauss?
Here.
Chairman, you have a quorum.
Thank you. The board entertained a motion to approve the previous meeting's minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Ms. Montero, you're up again.
Hello. Behind tab, the first tab, you'll find the citizens Actuarial and Underwriting Committee charter. Each year we bring the charter to the board for any changes. Staff had no recommended changes for the board. So I'll ask if there are any edits from the committee members.
Entertain a motion to approve the charter.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes, I think.
Thank you. Next is we're going to give a 2025 rate update, and our chief actuary, Brian Donovan, will do that.
Good morning, chairman and committee members. As Jennifer said, I'm Brian Donovan, chief actuary at Citizens, and I will give an update on the 2024 rate filing that we brought to the board back in June. On February 7th, Citizens received the rate order for both personal lines and commercial lines. We had filed for a 13.5% overall increase. 8.5% is the what was approved. The difference between the filed and the approved rates is due to the office, the OIR, not considering our competitive analysis. As a reminder, our recommended rates considered Citizens' competitive position, and any county where Citizens' rates were deemed overly competitive, we recommended a 14% across the board change, regardless of what the actual indication was. The office did not take this into account, and for personal lines primary policies, the order had us allow decreases up to 10%. So all rate changes where we had recommended, 14% across the board in most cases, the order is directing Citizens to allow decreases minus 10 to 14. It's based strictly on the actuarial indications. So overall, what that means is, as a reminder, for personal lines, overall rate indication was 27.8%. We had filed for 14% increases. Allowing for decreases up to minus 10 for primary policies reduces that rate impact to 8.6, where about 18% of Citizens policyholders will have a 4.6% decrease. For non-primary policies that make up about 7% of Citizens personal lines policies, they were capped between 0 and 50%, because that's written in the legislation. So there's no decreases being offered for non-primary. All changes would be between 0 and 50%. And for non-primary, we had filed for a 22.8% increase, and what was approved was 17%. And for commercial lines, we had filed 10.3%, and what was approved was 7.8%. That concludes my update, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Now that everything's adjusted over the last 12 months, how much less expensive are we than the general market on our standard primary home policy?
Right. When we, based on our analysis, when we first did this, we were saying that basically Citizens was half. To give an exact answer to that, safe to say we're a good 40% lower.
So our primary resident insurance program is 40% less than
than
the competition.
Yes, I think that's a fair number based on
the after the currently processed increases that we were given.
Yes, I'm ballparking that. To get a more precise answer, we'd have to redo.
So somewhere between 38% and 42%. would be a fair assumption?
I think that is safe to say that, yes.
Okay, I just want everybody in who's listening, how we're still the cheapest show in town for primary residents. How do we compare on the commercial rates and non-primary?
With the commercial rates, we did not have information to do a complete competitive analysis, but based on discussions with the office who have seen, you know, they can see the filings coming in, they feel that we're not overly competitive with pricing for commercial. In fact, I had mentioned that we had filed 10.3 and they approved 7.8. The difference between that was, you know, we didn't have a competitive analysis, but we could see where we were really growing like crazy. So the assumption was, well, obviously we're undercutting the market. Otherwise we wouldn't be growing so fast.
Correct.
But anecdotally, the actuaries from the office had said, no, when we look at these filings, you're not underpriced. So that's the best answer I can give for commercial lines is that the office had told us, you know, a reliable source to the office said, no, what we're seeing is you're not underpriced for the product you're offering. For non-primary, it's obviously going to be closer. I don't have an exact number to give on that, but if I had to, you know, pull one out of the air, so to speak, at 20-25%.
Even on a non-primary, your estimate or your guesstimate is about 20% below the market.
I think that's a reasonable estimate.
Yes. Thank you. Any questions from other governors?
Chairman, can I follow up on that a little bit? Sure. I think the message that you bring up is very important, and I'm not sure that I really understand it. I was reading through a report put out by the Council of 100 recently, and the average cost of a homeowner's policy in the state of Florida is 5 times the national average. So we may have gone down, but we must have started at a very high place to begin with. And so a couple of questions. That primary homeowner's policy, is that including wind or is that other perils?
Well, it's multi-peril, so it includes wind. Let me be careful here. Its majority is multi-peril, which includes wind and, you know, all the other fire, you know, all the other perils. But then there's a portion of that that's wind only, that only covers wind.
But the reduction from 38 to 42% that you mentioned over the past several years, that includes wind and,
yes,
and flood as well.
No flood.
Wind.
Oh.
And so comparing the numbers that are out there in the public, and I think this goes back to what we talked about with regard to claims as well, and clarifying what we're doing with regard to successful resolution of claims. I don't think the public's understanding that Citizens is bringing down the cost of insurance. And so if we are bringing down the cost of insurance because of tort reform and others, we need to figure out a clearer way of messaging that, because that's not what I get from the public. When I talk to the public, they talk about their insurance rates going up every single year. And so I don't know if there are certain pockets of markets that are coming down significantly. For instance, what we saw recently this year with OIR bringing down insurance in certain areas by a certain amount, but not others. Because while certain areas were offered a reduction from last year, other areas actually went up. And so I'm trying to figure out a way to get across to markets. And I hear from constituents in markets where their cost of insurance just goes up every single year. It's not coming down. And so I need better information to be able to communicate that.
Okay. I just want to be clear with Governor Spotswood. Our rates haven't come down 38 to 42%. Our rates are artificially below the market 38, 42% because of the constraints of the increases that the OIR has let us take over the last 4.5 years, almost 5 years I've been here. So I just want to be clear that our rates haven't come down. They just, that we continue to be, we're supposed to be the insurer of last resort. And we just can't seem to get there. Now, the only thing that's going to fix that, at least in my opinion, because when I got on this board September or August of 2020, what I learned quickly from half a dozen people, they all said the same thing from different areas, that it's funny, but you can model nature, but you can't model human behavior. So the litigation rate was not something the reinsurers or the insurance companies could model. So they just got tired of getting beat up in the courts here. So the tort reform has by far taken effect. Unfortunately, it's been, what, 20, yeah, it's going on 24 months, 2 years from the big lift that we did in 23. And the insurance market is getting healthy and they're making a lot of money because they cut out the litigation. So we'll see. The only bad thing that's happened, we're all sitting at the, we all read the news, same newspapers, and we live the same lives. The only thing that happened as we were finally fixing that, inflation came and hit us in the teeth. So even though we were getting ready to do some really good things, the inflation is the cost of replacement is exceeded in the last 4 years, 40%. So we are where we are, but I'm still unhappy about the fact that we couldn't raise our rates again in the markets where we needed to raise them to more effective rates. But we will see what we do with this season, and maybe next year we can do better. But I wanted to be clear, our rates haven't come down. We're just artificially been kept below the market. You done? I think so.
Yes, I am. I just need to make one point. Just to caveat. I'm sorry. But we say our rates haven't gone down. And I think this is important to understand in certain areas. And I think the Governor Spotswood alluded to it. Like in Dade, for example, it's where our rates are the highest. That's where the litigation was the highest. That's where we took all the rate increases for many years. And with this filing, even though we're overly competitive in that market, our indication was like minus four because of that benefit. They're going to see the first of that benefit of the reduction in litigation. Based on a competitive analysis, we said, 14% across the board. The OIR said, no, give the minus four percent. So there are these little pockets where they did come down, like overall, like I think I mentioned 18%, but overall, you're exactly right. Rates have been suppressed. We're still in the aggregate actuarially unsound, and we are overly competitive. So all that remains true.
Thank you. Any other questions? All right. Mr. Adams.
Thank you, Chairman and committee members. For the record, my name is Jay Adams, the Chief Insurance Officer here at Citizens. I have a couple of action items that I need to go through today and then a follow-up for the chair. The first one is our loss history reporting extension. What we're asking for is a six-month extension to the current contract with ISO. And what we use this contract for is to make sure that we can underwrite the policies correctly. It provides loss history information. It includes dates of loss, cause of loss, amounts paid, catastrophe indicator, and so forth. On December the 4th, 2024.
Mr. Adams, if I can interrupt a second, could you just explain to the board that this is the second extension?
I'm sorry?
This is the second extension for this implementation, is it not?
This is the first time we are asking for the extension for the loss history reporting.
Okay, which is the one that we were talking about in our discussion where they didn't meet their date.
That's claims.
That's the next one.
Yes, sir.
Okay, sorry.
That's all right. And so back on December the 4th, 2024, the board approved the contract with LexisNexis. So they're going to be the new provider. The reason that we're asking for the extension is that we are currently going through a policy center upgrade. And that upgrade is anticipated to go live sometime in early May. We did not want to do all the integration work to pull this into the old policy center system. We want to wait until the new system comes, so we only have to do it one time. We're not asking for any additional monies. We're just asking for an extension. And we are not incurring any cost from the new provider while we're in this extension period.
Board will entertain a motion to approve the action item.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion's approved. Let's go on to the next one.
Thank you. Okay, the next one is our annual product update. We come to the board every year with new updates, and these updates really hold two purposes. One is to true up with what's going on in the marketplace, and probably most importantly is when we identify issues during the claim handling process, maybe our language is not as articulate as it needs to be in some areas. So we go back with these updates to try to make the language as articulate as possible so that we can defend claims or litigation down the road. We have included all the product updates in the manual, or in your manual, and there's nothing that I could see in here that is overly significant. I'll be glad to take any questions on this, or if it's the committee's opinion, I can go through it all if it like.
Well, board entertain a motion to approve the updates, product updates.
So moved.
Your second?
Second.
All the fair signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you. And the next item is just informational purposes on the business process outsourcing. Chair Baruff, you asked that we bring back to this March committee where we are in the overall spend. And you can see in the chart that is on the page one here that with our depopulation that is occurring and such, that we are starting to forecast that as the remaining term of this contract goes out, that we probably will come in about $13.5 million under what we originally asked for. And I'd be glad to take any questions. This was really just informational.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you.
And that would conclude my presentation. Thank you very much.
Any new business? None. This meeting